The Producers, featuring the most respected international talent in the world of audio production and voiceover. Radio, TV, film, and online. In-depth interviews, industry insights, putting you on the inside. This is The Producers Podcast with Ryan Dreen.
Hi there, podcast time. Try to keep the intros a little quicker as I move through these shows, because at the end of the day, people are tuning in for the interviews. So let me do three things. One, my frequency hasn't been ideal for a lot of different reasons. I'm going to try to push these episodes out a little quicker. There's a lot of people to talk to, and especially it makes me feel better about the show in general. Inspires me, maybe. When I go to a conference like the Worldwide Radio Summit and I talk to so many different people that are, you know, like, hey, man, your podcast actually helps me. It's great. I like it, all that. Yeah, it makes me feel like it's worth doing. Then I'll go into my hole for 6 months and then I'll feel like it's a waste of... No, I'm just kidding. So I will try to increase the frequency here and we'll do good. You know, it's been about 3 weeks since the last one. I already have my next interview scheduled for about a week from now. So I'll try to get that pushed out before my trip in early June. So that leads me to point two, my next guest, Chris Ward. Had him on a panel at the Imaging Days last year. I pretty much knew instantly, that's a guy I got to get on the podcast. He was kind enough to give me some time. And actually, I went ahead and pulled up our little email conversation because I remembered we were going to conduct the interview a little bit quicker, but he said, you know what, we have something that I can't reveal yet, but it might be cool to wait on the interview until after he could. So I don't know what that something is, but we'll find out. Anyway, so that interview will be coming soon. Chris Ward, Bauer, what are they called? I was going to say Bauer Media. Bauer Media Group? That could be right. I think he images 1,000 stations now. No, he's group production director. He handles a lot there. So that will be a good one, and that will be the next interview. And then finally, for the third point in this intro, I want to discuss my guest, only to say that we get into everything. This interview was, you know, a story. It was about how you go from literally not being in imaging at all or radio at all. You're 18 and you just hear, you know, this stuff. You have to learn what it is. It's radio imaging, and then you got to learn how to do it. You do. You get a mentor, and you get arguably one of the largest imaging jobs on planet Earth. And all that happened pretty quick, but it happened with a ton of work. So, Andrew's just a heck of a guy. I've known him since he emailed me the first time when he was about 18. That was years ago. But he's still young, and he just, you know, had really too many nice things to say about the podcast. So it made me feel good, of course, so it's just a selfish thing. But also, I just feel like anyone who's young, if you're in radio in general, not even just imaging, but you know you want to do this, you have the bug, whatever, for whatever reason, whatever terrible, terrible reason, you still want to be in radio. I'm just kidding. You listen to this episode. It has to inspire you. If it doesn't, I think you might be without a soul. I'm kidding. Also, kind of. But seriously, epic imaging work, a great, great story, an extremely nice individual, and you know, just talent that you're going to watch rise over the next few years. So I'm really privileged to have him. Here's first some imaging from the Power 106 Los Angeles, and then my guest, Andrew Berger.
Hold up, wait a sec.
This is Power 106.
What's going on? This is Drake.
Number one for hip-hop.
I'm riding through the city with
Power 106.
Greatest ever. You know I'm up here, man, representing Power 106 LA.
Number one for hip-hop.
Microphone check.
Let's hear it.
Notorious B.I.G. Everybody's booming. Power 106, where hip hop lives. B.I.G.I.E.
From New York,
Brooklyn, NY,
to LA.
818-213 LA.
Power 106 remembers Christopher, the notorious
B.I.G.
Wallace.
Power 106, where hip hop lives.
I've done it all. The hottest concerts to the biggest tours. Every major city across the globe. But this stage is one of the biggest stages in the world. It's the Outdoor Hip Hop Festival of the Year. 25,000 plus fans and me, DJ Khaled. I'll be performing in major keys like this.
This is so good. I should never be
free. And this.
Go, title.
to win your powerhouse tickets. We'll see you at the show.
This is Jay-Z. Jay-Z. Power 106, the biggest hip-hop station in the world. Your favorite hip-hop songs.
Yes, sir.
Power 106, number one for hip-hop.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Trick or treat.
Who is it now?
It's the Irish.
We love the Irish. Go ahead, give them the Guinness. They'll love it. Believe me. Now who?
Looks like Mexicans.
Don't answer.
You have the power. Vote this November.
Turn the lights off.
This is Kanye West, and when I think of L.A., I think of Power 106, where hip-hop lives.
Number one.
For hip-hop.
Power 106, now and forever.
I'm just saying how I feel, man.
All right, here we are. This is a producer's podcast live on location, and I think it might be the second or third I've ever done. I am lucky enough to be sitting in the studios at Power 106 in Los Angeles. I'm sitting across from the still relatively new imaging director at Power, Andrew Berger, or DJ A Smooth, but we'll just call him Andrew.
That's perfect.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've told you many times this podcast changed my life. I mean,
that's weird.
It's weird, right? Like, I told you yesterday, I stayed in college for 2 extra weeks just to listen. And
I was gonna get to
we'll
that.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that though. That's funny. Yeah. So let me start off a little different than I normally would. The interview for this job and Jimmy Steele, what was that like?
Well, I found out about the job was going to open July 4th, which was just because it was the holiday, and I was like, nothing's going to happen today. And my buddy at Hot 97 texted me.
Dom Nero. Oh, yeah. Everyone knows Dom.
We'll get in. He was like, give me a shout out. I'm like, we might give you a segment.
Oh, yeah. A shout out. Yeah.
And he was like, get ready. I think their imaging guy's going to leave. So I'm all like, he's like, get your demo together. I'm like, oh my God, like this might happen. And so I found out about July 4th, and then August, I didn't get a call until like August 12th. I do remember the date. I actually remember the time that I got phone call too. So yeah. I have weird things like that I know. And it was about a month and a half that I waited, and I was hitting up Dom like every 2 days. Like, did you hear from Jimmy? Yeah. Like, I need to know what's going on. I was like going nuts.
Dom regrets ever knowing you.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah. So, wait, had you already sent in materials? Or you
no,
hadn't?
There was no job posting. Okay. There was nothing.
Got it.
There was nothing at all.
So, sometime in August.
Right.
What do you hear from? What happens?
I get a call. I think it was a Wednesday, I think, and just an afternoon, and I see a number pop up that said 818. Then, so my first reaction was, I didn't pick up and said hello. I said, "Hey, Jimmy."
Nah,
100%.
That's funny.
And he goes, "How did you know it was me?" I was like, "Well, that's the only 818 number I've been looking for."
Right. If it ain't you, I don't care who it is.
And he started laughing, and it was about almost a month process. I'm not just like a month on and off. It was a month like every day we were talking. And
did you do the fly out for the interview?
I did for 2 days.
Cool.
And that's actually another story. One of the jocks here, Felly, who's been on the air now for like 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
We met once, and I know him from a DJ thing. And he was like, I do kind of remember you. He was like, yeah, when you told me I was first when I first come out to LA, I'm going to take you to a Dodger game. And he was like, wow, you remember all that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was his birthday weekend. And he was like, you're staying, right? I was like, I gotta go back home. He's like, no, I'm paying for your flight. And canceled my flight. And I was like, Fell, it's $375. He goes, I told you I'm paying for it.
Right.
That's a big sign. Like, it was
the place you wanted to be.
Oh, I knew right then and there.
So what was Jimmy like, Jimmy Steele? You know, when you first talked to him or over the interview process?
Oh, I was honestly, the first time I ever spoke to him, I was scared.
Yeah.
I was scared. I don't know why, and we'll laugh about it now. And you know, I know he'll be listening to this podcast. So, but I was scared. I was like, this is, you know, one of the most respected programmers in the world.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. I'm like, and I interned at Hot, and he's like, did you actually ever work in Hot? I was like, no, but I was in the building. He goes, why didn't you ever ask me for a job? I was like, if it was that easy, we would have been in a different conversation right now.
So that's all you got to do?
That's all I had to do?
Jimmy Steele and ask for a job?
You should have asked me for a job. I'm like,
Okay.
Thanks, man. 5 years too late.
Right. Well, now you're like, I am now. So.
Yeah, that too. I didn't.
That's cool. Yeah. So about a month process, and then you get the job, and then do you just immediately start? You take, you know, jump on a plane, come out here?
It was.
Or drive your car. Or you don't drive a car.
I do now.
You do now. Cool.
And I remember I got the call to get the job, and then I literally called my parents. It was like midnight, and I was like, I have good news and bad news. Bad news is you're going to miss me.
Yeah.
The good news is I'm going to L.A. Yeah. I'm taking the job. And they're like, you got it? Like, because it was a month process. It was at the point that I was like, there's no way. They moved on.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting it. Yeah. I didn't hear from Jimmy for 3 days at one point. I'm sweating at every, I'm thinking about this all the time, and I was like, I'm done. I didn't get it. Got the call that on a Monday at 10 o'clock at night. And
one good thing about jobs like this, though, is if they do offer it, you know it's real.
Oh, yeah.
Because this size, they're not going to screw around with it. They're going to make sure they've made the right
choice.
Which
was why, and I talked to Jimmy about it today, and I was like, that's why I respected the process.
Right.
Because he actually said that wasn't one of the longest interview processes. I mean, we actually have a guy that they're trying out on air right now. It's been like 2 months, and they haven't told him anything yet. And it's because Jimmy wants to find the best fit.
Right.
You know, and I totally love that and respect that.
I got to meet a few people around here today, and it's clear that they don't bring people in on a whim and then get rid of them in a few months or a year. People here have been here a long time.
I think the average time is 10 years.
Yeah. People. Well, maybe we don't talk about the morning show.
Yeah, right.
That'd be the one area that...
Well, that was 17 years, so...
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, the guy who maybe whose name we won't mention today.
Yeah, mention it. No, it's okay. All right, yeah.
No, I mean, he's a legend for sure.
Legend. But, I think we would all say that here, but... Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It is, and that's part of radio, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, we've seen it all across the country, so.
So now let's take a step backward. I mean, we've hung out now for a day and a half here.
I know, it's so funny. We never saw each other ever, and then it's been like 7 hours of just nonstop seeing you.
I'll say this to people who go to a conference, or you know, we have so many like online friends, you know, that we email and we talk on the phone, but
it's like the AOL chat rooms, right? Like from back in the day.
But then you meet someone in real life, and you're like, wait a minute, that I feel like I've known you my whole life, and I've never seen you, and you only realize it, you know,
technology.
It's odd. Yeah. So tell us about where you started out. I mean, I've known of you, and at this point, because I know you're still pretty young, so you must have been about maybe 18.
I was 18 when I It's really weird how I got into this. I was always I loved hearing Eric Edwards, our voice guy at Power. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think he was at Power first before Hot had him. And I remember just hearing his voice and being like, wow, like that's so cool. I never knew there was such a thing called imaging.
Mm-hmm.
So as a DJ, I remember I have a few friends that wanted drops. I actually made like him like $2,000 in a session, or you know, some amount of money, I don't remember. And it was about 50 people deep in this session, and I get his drops back, and I was like, wow, like he doesn't really sound like the one on Hot 97.
Exactly. And I was like, what are they doing to him?
So I said, like, who does the imaging at Hot? Could you put me, like, who does this? Who makes your voice like that at Hot? And he's like, oh, this guy, Dom Nero. Mind you, I was in the building on Saturdays at Hot 97, but I had no idea what imaging was or who did. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who made that. And he's like, oh, I should put you in touch with Dom Nero. That's what Double E said, and that's what he goes by also. And I went to his studio, and I never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I thought Dom knew Chinese. The way he moved on Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. And I was just so, I went out the next day and bought an M-Box too.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I called Dom every day for about the entire summer, for about 3 months.
So he really did want to get rid of you then.
Oh, he
really
knew. I admit it now, I was so annoying. I was so annoying. But he was like, you should get into production. I loved DJing. I was like, nah, never, mm-hmm. never. And I'm here now.
Right. So what was your first job where they paid you money to do imaging?
Did some, I think on the radio imaging production group, actually, there was somebody who needed work done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool. And I did it. And
they paid you.
Yeah, it was something. I don't know what it was. I don't remember exactly what it was, but and that was around 2013.
Oh, okay.
So that was
that's crazy. So think about this, folks. 2013, the first time he ever produces something that he gets paid for. Yeah. 2017, he's in the imaging chair at Power in LA.
It's kind of scary.
So that's so let's go back to that bit you kind of brought up there. Mm-hmm. You were in college, and one of the reasons why you got good at this fast was what? Tell that story.
Well, I remember I didn't know how to get involved. But there was this one podcast, and we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
And I must have, I started just, honestly, it made time go by so fast. I mean, you know, the conversations were just, I must have listened to 40 episodes in a month. And
yeah.
I remember making my college and class, it was like called a capstone class, and I made it on imaging and my study materials. There wasn't a lot out there at that time. There's a lot more now. There was no imaging days. There was no conferences at all.
And it actually was in a lull too, because there used to be more things related to imaging.
Yeah, like Dan O'Day, I remember. Yeah, like learning. But that, and actually I was trying to go to that, but that was, that the last year happened right before I got into it.
Yep.
So the only way I could find out anything was on Dave Fox's YouTube, mm-hmm. your podcast, and talking to Dom. And
Ben Sound's blog. Maybe check
huge,
that out.
Huge part of it. Forgot to mention that. Like, they do an amazing job on there. Just the tricks and tips. And I had no idea really how to use Pro Tools. I watched like an 8-part video series. It took me like 2 weeks to complete it. Because, you know, if you watch something for more than an hour, you lost all the information.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so.
You got to. But talk about, I mean, that's really nice of you to say about the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad somebody.
Well, it's funny because I remember when I first met Stax from Z100, I was like, hey, nice to meet you. It was like, you actually really helped me on my interview for Power. You said something about interviewing. It was like, each interview that you take is your next step in life or something like that. And he was like, wow, like no one's ever really said that they heard anything. And I was like, well, I'm a P1 listener.
Right. You are. You're my podcast P1. I think I had a couple P1s, actually.
Yeah.
But you said you had a break there. School ended, but you still had like the apartment or something.
Oh,
for
I had
a while.
An apartment for 3 weeks and everyone moved out. And I just remember I was practicing imaging, would take a break by listening to the podcast, go back. It was like I drilled myself because I just wanted to be good. And I heard there's so much good work out there, too. Like, you know, there's obviously the some stuff that needs to be improved by other people, and I know all of us included, even the best. But there's a lot of good work out there, and I just wanted to be that. I wanted to be as good as I could get as quickly as possible. I mean, I used to send you at demos, I think, once a month.
Yeah.
I was just...
It's pretty cool, because when you hear someone and you're like, the first thing they send you is like, whew, all right, you know, he's young, he's got some... And then suddenly, like within months, it was like, man... And I think you applied for a job in Boston or something.
I did at the time, yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, he could get this with no experience. It depends if they want to take a chance, but you could get that. But right. you know, you didn't, so it all works out the way it's supposed
to. They ended up not hiring an imaging guy at the time. So it was, you know,
But just in months, and I just was thinking, you know, we were talking last night, and you said, you know, for 3 solid weeks, you kept yourself locked in. You listened. You practiced. You listened. You
practiced.
And
I bought pizza in the middle of it, like
right.
every
and
day.
You'd bring some pizza in. Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of, sometimes people wonder, you know, what does it take to get to there? Whatever there is, that's for you part of what it took.
It was amazing. I mean, it just, I would air check stations. I remember listening to the Michael Horn podcast with you, and he would air check stations. Like, what the hell does that even mean? Mm-hmm. And so I would just start listening to radio stations, see what other guys were doing. And it was, I got to go to Chicago to see my buddy graduate. And because of you, again, your podcast has shed more light. I emailed Mike. I said, I'm going to be in Chicago. I would love to see your studio. And he brought me in. So,
I
got to see Mike at work when he was at B96.
Yep.
And that was just, you know.
Yeah, radio guys tend to not mind having visitors because it's pretty rare.
Yeah, we never do. Like, so, the on-air people today were just like, wow, that's two in one week. I'm I actually have two friends.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Now, yesterday you had like a group of three friends.
Yeah, it was
one
awesome,
time.
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. They're, of course, they all were British-y. They all had some weird accents.
Oh, yeah. They're just buying T-shirts at random restaurants because they had the food there. It was like,
yeah. That's hilarious. I've done it. Okay, so now that you've been doing this a little while, you're getting paid, you got the big job. What are you doing? I don't want to put like ideas into your mind, but what are you doing to keep up with it all? To keep staying fresh, to learn more.
Eventually, I started listening to demos to the point that wherever I could find something, I would walk miles just to listen, like in New York, just to hear imaging, like a different state. I would air check stations in Miami. All over the country just to stay on top of things, because it wasn't, again, at that time too, there was no sound. Like, now SoundCloud has all these imaging pages. There was none of that.
Yeah,
there was really nothing at this time, and it was just really hard to get involved. I had no idea how to, you know, really find people. So it was a lot of listening to other people's work through radio stations. And
when you listened to imaging, though, were you able to break it down in your mind? Like, there was a certain point for me where, like you were kind of joking, I didn't know how they made the CHR voiceover person sound the way they do.
No idea.
So how'd you get there? Was that a lot of maybe hanging out with Dom?
Dom. Yeah. Dom, I hung out with him a lot. Like, he would make a move on the keyboard and I would stop him in the middle of work. And I'd be like, what the hell did you just do?
Yeah.
And he really molded me to become somebody, like, to understand it. I remember when I first he was the first episode I ever listened to, because I remember I was going to meet with him, I was going to his studio for the first time, and I looked up his name, and that was the link that came up.
We joked last night, Dom doesn't exactly have a large social media presence.
Oh, he just got on social media.
He's like a ghost, though, on the internet.
Yeah, it's so funny. And I remember at that time, that was the only link in another demo. And it was like, Dom Nero, somebody working at McDonald's. It was like not the same.
Different Dom.
Yeah, totally different Dom. And I remember he was talking about like, oh, yeah, like I rolled the EQ off at this. Yeah. I'm sitting there like, what the hell is a roll-off?
Hold on. Roll-off. What do you mean?
Like, I had... I had no idea about anything. I read books on it eventually, but it was a lonely beginning.
Yeah. And you were kind of saying that you were just really looking for anyone to give you a chance.
That's it.
And you were kind of talking about how PDs should be a little bit more.
PDs, even imaging services, like, and I did get that break with a company, the mixed group. Like, there should be more guys that want to help. And even if you're not the best, like, I would have shadowed anybody. If there was a little bit, at least just a little, I just needed to survive. And I know it's like, yeah, we do need to sacrifice and money is not everything. But, like, I was so committed. I felt like I definitely should have gotten $10 an hour just to, help. Even if I had to do some I would have done it.
Right.
Because I just wanted to learn and there just wasn't enough material.
Because there's a lot of young people out there and, you know, there's not nearly as many in the imaging world as there used to be. But you hear, at least I hear, having the podcast out there, I hear often from people that are in the 18 to 25 range, how do I break in? How do I, you know, and I mean, this is kind of what I wanted to talk about. You know, this is what you do.
No, this is, yeah, I mean.
You don't stop.
And then other guys, I remember everyone at the end of your show would say, you know, don't be afraid to email me. And coming from the DJ side, no one wants to help in the DJ side because everyone thinks they're in a competition. They're all bigger than each other and you're not a real DJ. And this is an industry that people want to help, but just didn't know how to help.
Yeah.
So I emailed anybody and everybody in any format and anything. I was emailing them too. Like, hey, could I send you something? Of course. Here's my, whatever you need. That people give me pointers and, it was a very welcoming community once you got in.
But I wanted to point that out, that you did, you know, listen and then reach out. And you said you had probably like a 95% success rate on people getting back to you. And what kind of stuff did you ask? I mean, did you throw demos at them and say, you know, make me better? How do I get better? Or did you get specific with people? What did you find was really effective to get feedback?
That's interesting. I think the one thing that... Whenever I finish something, I always start again. I would always re-practice. So that was, But the one thing I got was, if I had a, it was not many times I had a real technical question.
Mm-hmm.
Dom was really on the tech for me technically. Like, mm-hmm. I would ask him like, what is this and what is that? And you do it so much that it's, you just start to get it. But I mostly was like, here's my demo. Tell me what the hell I'm doing wrong, because I have no idea. And if I knew, right. I would be doing it. So mostly it was, to make a long story short and get this right to the chase, now that I figured it out, it was, what am I doing wrong? What could I do better? Why?
Yeah. Which is what I wanted to put a light on. People, you can't ask for feedback and hope that all you get is positive response.
I knew I was, I wanted, like, here's a lube. Like, I was ready. Like, I was like, what do I, like, I was, yeah. I knew I wasn't good. Like, I was okay with that.
Well, even when you got good, though, even when you were sending out good demos, the point is you still need to be saying, all right, I'm sure you're going to tell me I'm cool and I'm nice and it's good, but don't waste your time with that.
Yeah.
Tell me what the bad parts are. Right.
And it's also, I knew that it couldn't be that good if I wasn't getting a job. So, I knew that if it was that good, well, hire me. But I knew that's why. Yeah. And also, I started DJing when I was 14. So I used to put my mixes up the same way. And that's why it was so easy for me. Because I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I've done this before with DJing. And I can just do it again with imaging. I'll learn through that way. And
right.
You know.
So you worked with Mix Group. You already brought that up. And you had, so that, and then basically your first in-house station job is,
yeah,
we're sitting here. Right? We're
sitting right here.
Power 106
yeah.
LA.
Uh-huh. I also want to shout out a few people at the Mix Group that also helped me out. Like yeah. Juan over there is...
Yeah, I know you brought him up. I've met Juan. I've met all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Juan is amazing and really helped me a lot too as well on the way. And there's some great guys over there like that you might have never heard, like AK and great urban guy and mm-hmm. rhythmic guy and Lito, great CHR guy. So... You know,
nice.
They also, we would talk every day. I would send them work and they would like, oh, you know, you can do this and you can do that. And that helped as well from them. So
nice. And just out of curiosity, since this is your first in-house station job, you're starting in LA at Power. So, I mean, so you've only been here like 7 months, I think.
Yeah.
So what, but like, are you going to just stay here for the rest of your life? I mean, like, where would you think, just right now, just so you have it on record, where do you think you'll eventually go from here?
I don't know how to answer that. Yeah. I'm so happy here. I'm just, it's right. like a dream come true yeah. that I don't, most people ask that question looking for like, yeah, you know, I can do this, I can do that, but like.
They want to hear 5-year plan, yeah, 10-year plan.
And guess what? Like, this was my 5-year, if I, like, it, I'm
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Just happened early.
It just happened earlier than mm-hmm. you know I might have imagined or whatever, and I love it here. Like this is a dream come true, and this being the Heritage Station. So I can't answer that question. Right.
That's fine.
Part two.
Yeah, yeah. Next question. On to Kansas City or whatever.
I hope not. Sorry, no disrespect with Kansas City.
Not in that way. I was trying to do a Belichick. Anyway. So you came to Power. Obviously, you had listened to the station for however long, but constantly.
I used to be actually I used to listen on the East Coast a lot, like yeah. a lot. I just liked, they were breaking barriers before, like that was a thing. I mean.
So what I was curious about is I know that your predecessor is actually still in the building.
Yeah, he's on air.
He's on air and he's going to do full-time nights.
Yeah, and he's big time in LA. And he's a big, big DJ. Like, does yeah, every big club in this, big, big time. Like one of the biggest in the city, which is.
So, you know, I absolutely don't want you to think you got to disparage him. But the question is, when you came here, what were you hearing and what did you think you would bring to the table to make it better?
I wanted to make the station more aggressive. That was the one thing.
And what does that mean? Like,
just harsher. Like, honestly, probably rules that I shouldn't be doing in audio sense. Like, I compressed the hell out of Eric's voice. I'm really make his processing is super harsh,
mm-hmm.
but not harsh enough that you can't listen. Mm-hmm. Just harsh that it's just more, I don't know, is this more in your face and a lot more different drops. And I'm huge on certain drops and things like that. So mm-hmm. in that sense, obviously I think you'll hear in my work too that I'm very influenced by Dom. Like,
I would say Dom's a little cinematic. That was one thing that.
Yeah, And then I love that. I love trailers too. Like, okay. I guess if I was to do anything else after this would be trailers. Uh-huh. I just love, I love sound design type of stuff and cinematic stuff. And I would say I've been doing that for a little while too now.
Did you meet Rick Allen?
I met him. I met him last night.
Said, yeah. Okay.
I said, Godfather.
Yeah. Godfather. Well, I was gonna say because he's got a trajectory that you might want to pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he was hot way back when.
He was the first.
And then and then he ended up kind of doing what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Expanded. Yeah. You know, to him, radio. We were joking. Radio is like couch cushion change for him now.
Yeah.
He's doing all kinds like of Disney stuff.
Stuff for like Tascam, I think it is.
Yeah. He's like one of their. I think he's like in their magazine articles.
It's like he's right. It's like in the back of like Sound on Sound. Like, hey, that was the imaging guy.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just seeing a trajectory here.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? No. Because I think the cinematic stuff. I think that stuff is. It's really like futuristic sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just. The quality and
so if we can hear the station and the imaging, you know, the demo you gave me, which is a lot of really recent stuff, and then but if you want people to take like an overarching look at everything that's happening on the air here, maybe put it into a couple words. Oof. But what do you want them to feel when they are, you know, because you feel a certain way with every radio station, you know, and that's what the branding should do.
Some of it, I want you to get goosebumps. I mean, when we do announcement stuff, my first thing is like I'm like, we're going to announce this concert. Like the first thing I do is like, I imagine like my heart beating really fast. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I do want that. I mean,
what about the cool factor? I mean, what about
the cool factor is a huge part, like using really current stuff and mm-hmm. the imaging is super important. I think right now, and this is not, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. And it's not the imaging guy's fault. Most of the time it's, we're doing a lot of stuff that's just voiceover mm-hmm. in this, and I get it why, because our attention spans are not as high. And but I do want the station to bleed hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
We are a heritage hip hop station, so the first thing I want you to do is, if we're not playing the most hip hop song at the time, and then the imaging piece comes in, I want it to bring us right back to hip hop, and I want us to be high energy at every time, even if we go into a slower song.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to be high energy. When the imaging has to be high energy, in my opinion, like that's my.
That's the way you look at it.
That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Did you and Jimmy have conversations like this in specificity, or did he kind of go, "All right, what are you going to do with us?" And you did your stuff, and he went, "Cool, I like it."
He told me that he wants the station to bleed hip hop.
Okay.
And I just said, "All right," and I got to work, and I would show him pieces, and he would just.
He's like, "Awesome,
cool." And or he would give me some suggestions, and mm-hmm. I would.
Go. How much attention do you think? Well, not do you think does Jimmy steal the PD here?
Oh, so much.
Pay it to your okay,
it's
he does.
And it's amazing. The first time he ever started critiquing me, I said, "How the hell do you know this?"
Yeah,
I couldn't believe like
he's forgotten more about radio than you'll ever know.
Yeah, no, right? I was like, "How do you know all this?" He's like, "Well, I've been here for a little while," yeah. And I was like, "Yeah," but it was like kind of, he was like. His way of thinking just made me, I couldn't believe it. So he's very in tune. I think he loves imaging.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves it.
That's always nice. There's nothing worse for a really talented imaging person to have a PD that just doesn't care about it.
Yeah, he cares.
Did you make that promo? Yeah. Great. Do you want to hear it? No. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. No, that's never, like Jimmy's always like, "Oh yeah, I'll come hear it. I can't wait."
Yeah. Yeah. You want your PD to walk down the hall and
he's
storm
really
in.
He's really big
and,
on imaging. It's
cool.
Pretty neat.
So. What about target demo? Do you guys have specific conversations about who you're targeting?
Yeah, we do have conversations about it, but hip hop, like I just know what's new. Like I try to know what's going on as much as possible every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's not really a conversation that we have to have a lot. I just know what I need to do.
Well,
sense.
As far as the listener, I know Dave Fox is one of the first ones I heard to say this. I don't know that he made it up, but they broke the Z100 listener down to one individual human being. You know, it was like a 20-something female. They named her.
Mika?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mika. So do you guys do stuff like that here?
No.
And are you directly communicating to sort of like one type of person, or is it? It sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that it's more about this is the product, and we're going to present it as awesome as we can, and then whoever comes to the party, that's great.
Well, sort of. I mean, I think our demographic is a very Mexican heavy, like Spanish, and more leaning on the Mexican side of
sure.
things. So, I always keep that in mind, and whenever I could do things like that, it brings in Spanish culture.
Get a little bilingual in it sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I do. I'll have a, you know, I'll have them say one, like, you know, uno cero seis.
And is that right?
Yeah, sometimes I'll do.
Do you ever have double E? Do any Spanish?
No, I don't. I'm scared to break that barrier.
No,
I'll do it with someone who is Spanish.
Yeah,
but not with him.
So when you're using a lot of custom drops and stuff in your imaging, I mean, some of it clearly can be a little more generic, and you go and
get like
it.
Double E, I'll use as the generic. I want him to be like the stamp of the station. So when I use him, I try not to have him say too many words.
Mm-hmm.
I just want him. I always want him to sing Power 106, mm-hmm. number one for hip hop.
Right. That's, I'll say, even in the Uber coming over here, the guy already had power on. I didn't have to tell him to change it. But nice. I just wanted to hear, you know, immediately before I showed up. And I noticed the top of hour and
it's
very clean.
Yeah. I would like him to, like, for a long time, he wasn't on the station. I don't know if you know that. So for about 4 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we just brought him back about.
Maybe I did know that.
Maybe now a year, but 7 months. Oh,
did they have someone else, or did they go with no?
They went with just listeners.
Okay,
and that was cool. But
I understand
now
that
there's part. Yeah, right. Now that there's competition in the market.
Right,
it made sense to bring back a voice.
I mean, you guys had competition before, but now you got
competition.
Yeah.
So he brings back the days of, like, the older days of power, just to bring back that familiarity.
That heritage.
Yeah, heritage and being, you know, what we
make really people remember why they were tuning in the first place.
Exactly.
Maybe not necessarily the person that was on the air in the morning, right. But everything else that was around them. Yeah.
Right. So I always said, I mean, I got into this because of Double E. I heard his voice and I was like, this is, like, I love this guy. And then I just, actually, it's the guy that also produces his voice. It's like,
wow. Figure that part out.
Right. So, but him being he's a stamp of the radio station. Like, when you hear his voice, you know you're listening to power.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What about back to the drops and just the content you use? I mean, are you out there gathering street audio? Are you just farming it from sources you have in-house?
No, most of it I try to get out. Like, I try to get from, listener drops. Mm-hmm. I actually have street team guys doing it.
Okay.
I do some stuff too.
Do you get out there with a mic and a recorder?
Yes, like, I have done it myself. But also, like, the street team guys, they want to be around a mic, and I've tried them out, and they're super energetic.
These are more like promotion.
Yeah, team street people. Team, and
they're doing little quick ticket hits.
Going out to T-Mobile, you know, stuff like that, and going to on-site client stuff, and to have listeners coming through and.
Do you have any tips for how you gather good quality drops?
Make the people sound comfortable. Like, don't worry about it. We could sit, you know, we can take all day.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you're
screw it up.
They're going to be on the air. Like, it's going to be kind of cool for you. And they'll be like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I've always wanted to do that. And I was like, what's your name? And you just, if you ask them questions, you know, you can kind of get good reactions.
Like, so don't put a script in front of their face and say, read.
Oh, God.
You don't do that one.
I mean, it's almost as bad with artists. It's like, you got to give them a script, and it's like... Ooh.
What about, I don't know the right word, parroting or mimicking or whatever, but if you say what you want them to say and then have them repeat it.
I do that too. Like, just say it like this.
Okay.
And they'll be like, and then they'll put their twist to it. And, you know, I think it's always hit or miss. Like, you might...
Yeah.
You're never going to go out and get 20 amazing drops, and if you do, like, I would like to hire you.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you're gonna get some hit or miss ones. I tell the guys, like, don't worry. If you don't get any good ones, at least you tried. I'm okay with that. You know, I would like you to get great stuff all the time, but I understand that sometimes you go to a school. You know, we do a lot of stuff at schools. So I'm like, if you go to a school and they don't have energy at this basketball game, like, we'll go again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not against it. And, you know,
I want to get into the tech talk here. Because, you know, we could probably do like a 3-hour show.
We did a 3-hour show if you count the hour and a half lunch.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's a good Mexican food. You got a very unique situation, which is one massive station by itself in a great facility, you know, in Market 2. It just doesn't happen anymore. Everything's 6 or 7, 8 station clusters. You know, you've got regions of, you know. So the vibe around here, what's it like when just day to day around here? Party all the time, like super professional people, you know.
It's some
celebrities.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've met more celebrities in 7 months here than I could shake a stick at.
Yeah.
It's like, you just turn your head and then, oh, we got to get you for drops. Like,
yeah.
And tonight, it's so many artists come in here, which is
awesome.
I was
going to say, make the other, the folks that work at the smaller markets jealous.
It's
the way it is.
Unfortunately, I mean, there was a time that I would never leave my apartment. So it's like to have this now is kind of, you know, is a blessing. But yeah.
Not that you were a bad person. You had like 14 hours a day work to do.
Yeah,
and you worked from your home.
Oh, so. I know what it is. But I mean, it's like when a concert happens or whatever, it's just, I mean, I literally just had DJ Khaled here recording 24 minutes of drops for me.
Mm-hmm, that was awesome.
It's like,
how do you handle artist drops? Do you put a printed sheet and have them read?
I do, and I tell them, if I see how they do like the first one or two, and mm-hmm. I tell them, all right, you know what? Make it your own.
Yeah.
And then they'll do their own thing. And
some artists are always going to be a lot better at that than others.
Yeah,
and there's nothing you can
do. The younger artists have trouble.
Yeah.
And I can imagine when these guys were younger, they had trouble.
Right.
And you get used to it when you do your 15th radio run for an album or concert.
Right.
You get good at it. So, like, Khaled, I just gave him the sheet, and he just...
killed it.
Oh, it was just like, could we do another 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Like,
can you never leave?
Have you had a second station voice?
Man, so many topics. I was just going to say, you brought that up. Celebrity station voices. You have any opinions on that? That happens from time to time.
Like, what
you know,
for an artist.
You know, they'll use an actor as a voice. Like in country,
yeah.
Jack Ingram is voicing a bunch of stations. But then you had we brought it up earlier. In New York, they launched a station. They had Kiefer Sutherland voice it.
I never really knew about that.
Yeah,
it's like
it happens from time to time. But that's I don't put words in your mouth. But it sounds like you're kind of like Eric Edwards is the brand. We wouldn't stray from that.
No, he is the brand, but I'm trying to make the station more artist heavy as I go and collect things.
Okay.
So I'm more on the artist side. Like I would.
Okay.
But Double E's place in this is super important.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eric Edwards' voice is so important, and I send him copy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't, and it depends how I never really know what I'm going to use until I produce the promo, honestly. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take out this whole line, replace it.
Yeah.
So, but he's been on the station now like 30 years,
mm-hmm.
like 27 years. I mean, he's almost an artist himself.
Yeah.
You know, in a way.
I think for voice people too, one of the advice that I've been given many times above all else is, you know, be unique, be who you are. And Eric Edwards definitely has a unique sound.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Nobody else is really emulating.
Yeah.
There's no other Eric Edwards out there.
No, there is. And there's no other Dave Fox, who's,
right.
you know, a great friend of mine. And there's a lot of great talent out there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that Corley and
mm-hmm.
things like that. So.
I think it's funny when Kiss FM in Dallas, you know, had Corley at the top of the hour saying, I can't remember what the word is, but they had him say y'all.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, today's best music, y'all, whatever the hell he said. It was just a little bit back to that where
right.
you could have Eric Edwards say something in Spanish.
Oh, I mean, and W will read anything.
Yeah.
He'll read anything. You tell him to say this, I mean, he'll do it, and it's his voice, like... That's the thing with Double E, you're getting his classic sound, and that's what he's best at, and, you know.
Yeah.
You won't get, like, a character read from him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want that, you know, you're not going to get that. But that's why I use him the way I use him, because he's Power 106, number one for hip-hop. Like, he's...
Mm-hmm.
That's him, like...
Yeah. So. We can talk a little tech over here. I know you're on Pro Tools. You're about to get your fancy new rig at some point.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
whenever can't come soon enough at this point.
Yeah, because I was laughing at you. I saw you're still on Pro Tools 10.
I know.
Nothing to laugh at. There's plenty of people
at
that
home.
Are
I am on 12
yeah.
with the latest this, that, Waves bundle. And
so here, though, just so people know, we got, again, Power 106 in LA. Pretty big deal. And you have how many hundreds of plugins do you have installed over there?
I think I use 3 plugins here. I use EQ7
yeah.
and my limiter's Maxim.
Really? That's old school. So, but the point is, you have no third-party plugins.
Right. None at all.
So in case people were curious, like, you know, they'll hear people say it, you don't need thousands of dollars in compressors and EQs to make that sound. And they're like, well, great, you're saying that, but I... No, that's true.
Well, it is. I mean, I wish I had other things, and hopefully, you know, but
yeah.
You work with what you got, and right. You learn to your best of your abilities, and when you're stuck in this another situation like this down the road,
mm-hmm.
You know what you got to do.
It doesn't sound like you're being held back by what I'm hearing on air.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's, yeah.
You know, but, I mean, I know some guys would be like, well, you know, like, it would probably benefit of using... Renaissance EQ on this one, and,
sure, you know, like, exactly.
But at the end of the day, it's all getting squashed. It's all relative. It's we're doing. Have fun doing this,
right?
Like, so, like, I wasn't gonna be like, oh, I don't have my Waves plugins. Exactly. Like, I can't work.
Right, exactly.
Like,
or you know, you came in here. You might have been an audition guy.
Yeah,
you'd be like, what? Well, I can't work on Pro Tools.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Well, we have audition here. I think we have Saw on that computer as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got some past guests on the old podcast that would be happy about that.
I don't have it on my account, but I know it's on somebody's account here, and I'm going to get into that and just see
what's
going on. That's so
cool. You got Pro Tools, you got your Mac. It's cool. I'm actually in the studio of the guest, so yeah. I can just look around and see. But by the way, you have like a 2,000 square foot studio.
It's so ridiculous.
We could do an 8-person talk show in here if we wanted to.
It's a backup on air studio as well. So
yeah.
It's never been used as a backup since I've been here. So
right. So you're it's good.
Mine.
Right. You're right. Good.
And in the mountains, like you know.
Yeah. I position myself over here so I could have the view.
I see it every day, so I'll let you take it.
Right. Exactly. So I could have the view, but I mean, can you see the Hollywood sign from here?
No.
Because that would just
you can see my apartment. That's
I can see some multi-million-dollar apartments. Buildings over there.
That's Disney.
Oh, is that Disney I'm looking at?
Yeah, it's Disney.
Oh, great. All right. So anything else technologically that you like to use that maybe people would be surprised by or just things that make you get your sound?
The DAT machine.
The DAT machine.
I don't use it like that. I just actually rip stuff off of it. Like we had stuff that was on DAT and I go
like
through.
Like what?
Drops,
really?
Back in the day,
like old school drops.
Yeah, Snoop. I had like a 20-minute session with him on.
Really?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I have Tupac drops on there. So,
This is a question I never ask, but since where we are and the kind of station you're at, who's the coolest or the best, the biggest, your favorite celebrity type that's been in here to do some drops for you?
Khaled was cool because his energy is
so
amazing, but. Honestly, to me, I'm more just excited to be working. Like
right.
I just these guys come in and it's cool and it's like wow, like I'm literally doing a session with him or him. But mm-hmm. to me, it's like the most exciting sessions are the ones that I can get the most out of them.
Right.
So if it's like someone like if it's a big artist that came in and I was like he was like wow that guy kind of sucked. It wasn't worth
it. But it'd be pretty cool to stumble into like an hour Biggie session or something.
Oh, I don't know who. I think actually the head of the morning show, the morning show producer, he recorded Biggie.
Is that right?
I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. If you were to look back in like 20 years and be like, able to say, oh, I had, you know, that guy in here.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool
for
stuff.
For a half hour.
Right.
It's like.
Let me ask you this. Because we'll get wrapped up here. We all got to work, and I'm supposed to be in like panels and stuff in
sorry,
a conference.
Brother.
You know,
not happening.
Something that surprised you. I'm gonna throw this like weird question at you, but having worked here now for 7 months or so, something that's really surprised you, didn't expect to be the case when you came here.
Well, definitely the Pro Tools thing with the plugins. I was honestly
that's surprising.
I was really surprised. That was big. I didn't know. I knew I was only doing one station, so I didn't think I would be. Every day is busy. I mean, I actually.
You're busier than maybe you thought you would be?
Yeah.
You were worried that having only one station, you might be
right?
Like,
I would be
your
like,
thumb sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I thought, and it's never that. Like, if I'm not that busy, there's some new song that I just dropped, mm-hmm. and I make sure it's. Super clean, and if not, I clean it again. And
oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. You clean the music.
I clean the music as
you
well,
said,
too.
I clean the music, and I went, wait, I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, like, I just make sure that everything is super clean.
And that literally means to take out the curse words.
Yeah,
and,
but that's fun for me, too, because I'm sitting there, like, on and trying to make edits out of things I don't have any stems yeah, for.
Right.
Like any exactly. working a cappellas or instrumentals.
So what's your mode of choice to like do a reverse or to find an instrumental bit and then lift it out and cover it up?
I try to do rhythmic stuff. Like I'll try to take a word and replace it and
So you'll find another bit of the song.
It takes me a lot longer to do, but
yeah.
I like my goal is to make sure that I even sound better than the clean versions the labels put out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And that's really hard when you don't have nothing. But I
right,
I,
and they're using the studio stems.
Oh, they're like they can.
They can have literally have the artist come in and re-record.
Redo the verse. Redo the chorus. Take out that word and change it to that. And I can't. And I just think that's so fun. So
yeah,
and it keeps me very on top of the music as well.
And
so
I was surprised by this. I said, "Well, wait, why?" I thought maybe you were cleaning them less than the version label would provide. No, you actually make them cleaner.
Because the labels screw up.
That's funny.
Yeah, like I've heard words that they send the clean, like, this is super clean. And I listen to it and it's like, shit. I'm like, oh no.
That's not really super.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
Not really clean.
And I'll write back to them. I'll be like, hey, you guys messed up.
Yeah.
I'm the first to tell them because they should know. They're sending out to so many people
right.
to play on the air that are not going to do what we do and double check things.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, worst case scenario, it hits some sort of a network and gets fired off on 200 stations or,
I just imagine the phone calls.
Yeah. I mean, you got to pay attention to that. So you clean the music here too. Can you talk about the setup for the mix shows?
What do you mean?
The laptop?
Oh yeah. We have one laptop. So like each like most DJs in a radio station come and they set their laptop up and they plug in with their music and everything else. Here we have one laptop and with, I think it's like 15 accounts and then they sign in and they go into a server where I put like where the music is actually in and they grab it and they play off of one computer and it's worked for 7 years.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I think we're the only station in the country that does that.
Yeah, it really keeps control of the content.
Well, that too, and I think it's what's great about it is that they're playing only one version.
You brought that up.
Yeah, like, so it's not like one DJ has one version, one maybe have a higher quality or lower quality. Sure. I make sure it's always a wave.
And a lot of times when a song gets big enough, it'll get remixed like 7 different times, right?
Yeah.
So you'll have this guy playing the John Smith remix and this guy,
if we do that, we'll decide on one remix that we all agree on. So I love it because it brings the station a very uniform process.
Sure. So. What else do you do around here?
when Jimmy's out on the Pete. No, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
Honestly, I try to do as much as I'm trying to learn as much as I can every single day. And every day I come in here, I try to be better than I was the next day.
Yeah.
It's my goal. If I don't even produce a piece in that day, which is
pretty rare.
I'm producing every day, but I always am trying to get better at something.
Yeah.
If I'm learning somebody or how do you do this better or if it's something I just had no idea of and, I do value that. I want to get better every single day.
Yeah.
I did not fly 3,000 miles to be mediocre.
Well, you certainly didn't drive 3,000 miles.
Yeah, thanks.
New York guy. Let's wrap it up and I'd be interested to hear your answer to my final question.
Yep.
You know what it is. One key piece of advice for the youngsters out there. How do they steal your job?
Well, I think good question. Don't be afraid to be yourself and bother people. If you really want this, show them that. I knew I was annoying, but I was okay with that because you preach that there were the younger generation doesn't. There's not as many people as we would like to be getting into it. So
right.
I was like, well, I really want to get into it. Yeah. So I'm going to show people I'm going to get into it. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Hit up anybody that is willing to help you. Like if you want to hit me up, you can hit me up anytime at aburger@power106. You can put that on the website.
I will. Aburger, B-E-R-G-E-R.
Yeah, not like a hamburger. Almost a hamburger, but yeah, exactly. I'm willing to help anybody because Dave Fox preaches on paying it forward and I had help. I'm willing to help anybody who's serious and
Well, cool, great advice. I kind of knew
I didn't say that really it would key. Be like
yeah exactly
you know,
yeah
you but, and practice every day. It's okay if your parents hate you for it.
Yeah,
like they're like, what are you doing, like this stupid stuff,
and right
at first, but then I remember when you know, you can make your dream a reality.
Yeah, and then when you give them a call at midnight saying, I got the job at Power in L.A.
Yeah.
In your face, yeah. Mom and Dad.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of how it went.
What about where else can people reach out to you? You got your email address, yeah, on
my
Twitter.
Yeah, my email. And on social media, like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's at DJASMOOTH. And
yeah, there's the A Smooth.
There's the A Smooth. That's the last bit of it. I'm transitioning out. Like, I'm pretty much done with DJing.
Yeah, I was going to say, because
I just love what I do here.
Yeah.
And I love imaging so much that I had that. I did that in college. I did it since I was 14. Uh-huh. And until I was 20, until last year, honestly. And it ran its course, and it gave me a lot of experience and great. It got me better at speaking in front of crowds.
Yeah.
And, but I think this is the new role. I love, and
we've talked about the musicality you should have as a producer, but yeah, obviously having a sense of rhythm.
Yeah, and being the rhythm. Able to, I mean, DJing gave me the rhythm. I remember the first time I ever sent a demo out to Dave Fox. He goes, "Wow, your rhythm is, you know,
you get it.
Yeah, you get putting stuff on the downbeat
and making the snares match up."
I understand why people have trouble.
Yeah,
but I
or
always,
they don't think about it.
Right, that too. It's, you know, I didn't think about it down. I remember when I first tried a beat match, I started on turntables, I started crying. I mean, this is too hard.
Yeah. Oh, I never even tried.
Yeah. We'll get you right now in the mix booth.
Oh, sure. That would go over well here. Hey, it's DJ Ryan. Cool, man.
The first time and the last time.
Yeah, for the last time for sure. Great. So there it is.
Thank you.
I think it's my third in-person interview, but it's really ironic that the last one, New York City, Dom Nero at Hot 97, where you didn't exist to me yet. And now we get to 2017 and we're at Power in LA.
And
there it is.
It's just funny how it came full circle. Like, I learned so much from Dom and just sitting in that studio.
Yeah. Cool.
And you did it. So, and I also, don't be afraid to listen to like 90 episodes in a row.
I would say be afraid. I would say don't do that to yourself. But sure. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Contact the show, contribute your opinions, see additional content, or simply stay connected at producerspodcast.com.